You're not going to get saved again. There's no record anywhere in this Bible of anybody getting saved the second time. But there is record in the Bible of people that are saved and right with God, getting away from God and their fellowship being restored to God. The greatest example is a man named Simon Peter. Simon Peter was a close disciple. He walked with Jesus, and one night he told him, he said, "If everybody forsake you, I won't." And the Lord said, "Peter, before the cock crow thrice, before the cock crow tonight, you'll deny me three times already." And he said, "Not me, Lord." And of course, we know he did. The Bible says that they looked at Peter and he wept bitterly. He went out, and the Bible said he told the other disciples, he said, "I don't know about you fellas," he said, "but I go fishing." He took what clothes he had and only just a garment, and he sold his clothes and bought him a fishing pole and probably rented him a boat and went out fishing. What did he do? He went back to the old life, though he knew in his heart he wasn't right. And that night he was out fishing. He toiled all night and hadn't caught anything. Lo and behold, who did he see but Jesus walking on the water? And he remembered instantly because he had seen that before. Same deja vu. He had seen it all over before. Amen. And Jesus told the disciples when he arose, he said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." So why did he include that? Because he also included the example of Peter, that was one got away from God, and he wanted him to know that he hadn't given up on Peter. He was still one of his. Amen. And a few days later, that same Simon Peter that cursed and swore and denied the Lord was preaching. At Pentecost, he heard the Pharisees and a bunch of them say, "Yeah, these men are full of new wine. They're all drunk." And Simon Peter got fed up with that, and the Spirit of God stirred him on the inside. And Peter, who wanted to remain silent and didn't want to say anything, he jumped up on a stump or an old pickup truck or whatever was there and probably jumped up on the back of the truck and said, "Wait a minute." He began preaching, and God took over. And 3,000 plus people were saved and baptized because of that. Amen. That backslidden preacher got right with God, and God used him, and God restored him to fellowship, and God used him. And we find in the life, as you look at the life of Simon Peter, his life was a life, a progressive Christian life. Throughout his life, his relationship with God was tried and tested, and he got closer and closer. And I want to read a verse to you this morning that is an incredible verse to any Christian here this morning. And I doubt it if I'll preach all this message tonight. I don't ever intend to carry something over, but I may give you the second part of this message. I may give it to you tonight. And if you're not able to be here tonight and you ask me, and that is the case, I'll get you a copy of it so that you can listen to both parts. But I don't think that I'll preach it all to you this morning, but I don't want to hurry. I want to get the message to you, to any Christian here, any child of God here that would desire to have a closer walk with God, that would desire to, we get in this thing, and I'm not going to hurry, like I told you, I'll just finish tonight where I leave off this morning, but we get in this thing where we look at people and say, "Well, they're just that way. That person just naturally more whatever." That's not true in Christianity. That's not true of Christianity. Listen, in athletes, there may be some people that can jump a little higher. There may be some people that can run a little faster or throw the ball a little further. Or there may be some people that are maybe a little more inclined. But in Christianity, anybody that desires a closer walk with God can have one. You can be as close to God as you desire to be and as you want to be and as you're willing to let God work in your life. You can have a close walk with God if you choose to. Listen, I want to show you that this morning. The best God allowed to do it, I want to show that to you. And I got so many verses I want to show you. And this morning, we may just look at Bible verses. So just get your Bible out and let's look here just for a little while in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse number 3, the Bible says, let's just look at verse 1. And again, we may just read some Bible verses here in the morning hour. Verse 1 says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Boy, I like that. My daddy used to tell me that God's a gentleman. And he's right. God will not make you do anything. Amen. God, He'll not make you get saved. And listen, hey, He'll lay it on your heart. Brother Anderson testified 8 years. And boy, listen, and you could talk about the grace of God, how God just kept driving on him and driving on him, and I'm glad God doesn't give up. Amen? But God is a gentleman in how He operates with us, and He gives us that opportunity to accept the gift of salvation. And the reason a person goes to hell, mind you, is because they reject grace. You say, preacher, what sin would be so great that when a person would go to hell, and you would sit and you would name all these great and terrible sins that would cause a person to go to hell. You could name, boy, listen, you could name all kinds. I mean, you could name the, I think of the child molester. What a wicked thing that is. Right. I think of all the wicked possible sins and the things that man could do, and how people can murder their own children, and the wicked sin of abortion. I think what a wickedness and what a vile thing that is, and the wicked sin of sodomy and perversion and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, that's not why people go to hell. People go to hell because they rise up against God and reject the grace of God and say to God, I will not accept the gift of salvation. And that angers God. It infuriates God. And so that a person that rejects the gifts of the gift of God, the gift of God's grace, rejects grace, they will go to hell for eternity.
Right.
It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should be saved. Listen, that's the will of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So listen, God's will, God's desire is that a man be saved, and God deals with your heart. And the Bible said in Revelation 3:20, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That word sup is the word supper, like supper time. In the old days, before cars and everything else and convenience stores stayed open all 24 hours a day, everything used to just about shut down at 6 o'clock. And the reason why is because nobody was going anywhere much after 6 o'clock. And listen, the boys and girls would be out playing, and mama would stand on the porch and holler, supper time, which meant it's time to come home. And they'd come in and they'd all wash up and they'd eat and they'd sit down, and nobody went out anywhere after that. It was supper time. That's changed through the years. But the idea of supper time was, I come to stay till morning. And that's what Jesus said here. He said, I knock on your door. He said, you open the door. He said, I'll come in and sup with you. Amen. He said, I'll come in, I'll sit down with you, and I'll stay till the new day dawns. Amen. And that new day, we're going to wake up with Him. Amen. Like Enoch, the example, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Why? Because one day, Enoch was walking, and God knocked on his door, and Enoch invited him in, and he stayed with him to supper time, just like He's going to do with us. Amen. And listen, and we'll wake up in His glory someday, in His presence.
Amen.
Boy, that's a wonderful thought to think. And to think, you say, preacher, why does a person go to hell? You don't have to sit and justify yourself. You don't have to say, I'm a good person. You don't have to say, I'm not that bad. You don't have to compare yourself to anybody else. I want you to know the reason a person goes to hell is simply because they reject the free grace of God.
Right.
They say no to God. They reject the gift of God. It's not because you're a liberal. It's not because you believe different than I believe. You go to hell because you reject God's grace. Amen. Listen, why does a person go to heaven? Because of their religious standing, because of their denominational tag. No, they go to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for their sins, and because by God's grace, God dealt with their heart, and the message of eternal salvation came to their ears, and the knock of God came on their heart, and God's grace came to them, and they accepted that gift, and they're saved eternally by God's grace. Amen. They heard the story, the blessed story. I want you to understand this. So as Christians, God allows us to choose every day whether we're going to walk with Him or not.
Right.
I'm amazed by this, and I see it in my own life, and every person, every Christian here has a testimony. In your testimony, you tell about before you were saved and where God saved you, and then your testimony also includes since you've been saved. And all of your testimony is, it's got how God's worked in your life. Amen. And that's the reason we glorify God and we exalt Him and we magnify Him, because when we testify, we look back and we see the wonderful hand of God in our life and how good God's been to us and how gracious He's been to us. Amen. Boy, listen, what is that? What is your testimony? What is that that causes us, that stirs us, and that excites our hearts? What is that creates that fervor on the inside? What is that that excites our minds? It's our thoughts. Our thoughts. And you all ever think? How many of you got kids that wish they thought every once in a while? They don't think. Amen? You try to get your kids to think. Amen? You ever do that? Think about what you should do. Listen, here's the thing. We're God's children. God wants us to think every once in a while. I guess there's not many things that bother me any more than to hear a preacher preach that never thinks about what he says. Amen? I mean, he's just saying what he heard somebody else say. He's just saying something, hadn't thought about it, doesn't have any clue, and listen, doesn't have anything to back it up, doesn't have any Bible for it, just up there running his mouth. Amen? You see, that'll just last for a little while. But I'm going to tell you this. Listen, what stirs us is what we think about. I want to show you some verses about your thoughts just for a minute, your mind. Second Corinthians chapter 10 says this. He said, I come to you, he said, by meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. Verse 2, he said, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, notice this, says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The word carnal means worldly. He said, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to know this morning that the devil has many strongholds in this world. Amen? The devil has many, folks, he has their minds captivated. He has hold of their mind and he has a hold of their thoughts. And listen, we talk about people being robots. I'm going to tell you, all the devil's children are robots. Amen? They're programmed daily. Listen, they're like little computers. The little saying, garbage in, garbage out. That's the way it is with the devil's children. He just pumps the garbage in and pumps the garbage in. And it's no wonder they do the things they do. Why? Because Satan has a stronghold over their mind. He has a hold of their minds and he has a hold of their thoughts. And so it's no wonder their actions are what they are, because Satan dictates their thoughts. Our world is in the shape it's in because of the strongholds of Satan. The Bible says in verse number 5, says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What a thought that is, amen? I'd like to challenge you just for a few minutes. I'd like to exhort you just for a few minutes on that thought right there. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We hear so much in Christianity preached about, and a lot of times you'll hear folks talk about the outward appearance of things. And we want to spend so much time on the outward appearance. And if you'll come here very long, listen, you know that, man, I'm old-fashioned, hardcore, whatever, but I don't preach a whole lot of emphasis just on appearance and those types of things. Why? Because all that is secondary to what's going on the inside. The Bible says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Listen, what is all that talking about? What God is concerned about is not how we dress ourselves up. God is not concerned about how we look on the outside. What God is concerned about more than that, that's all secondary. Now listen, I believe God wants us to be respectable. I believe God wants you to be able to look at me and know I'm a man, know I'm not a woman. Amen. I don't think God wants me up here running around with a dress on. I don't think God wants me to go out and get a long wig. Can you imagine the preacher up here, long wig, long hair? Brother, listen, some things I think cross the line. Amen. Yeah. But listen, I want you to understand this, though. Here's what I'm talking about. What God looks at and what God first interested in us is what's on the inside of us. When God saves us, God goes to work on the inside of the man. God goes to work on the secret person of the man. God goes to work on what's going on the inside. Why? Because God wants that man to be genuinely different. And the only way you're going to be genuinely different is to get your heart cleaned up. To get your mind cleaned up. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want you to understand that you can make a profession. You can get saved. I've seen folks do it. I think of a fella that come to our church years ago in the story, young man. He come to our church and he made a profession of faith. And I feel bad when I even mention and use this man as an example because I really don't know. I searched for the answer and I begged God to help me to know how to help this man. And one day God gave me the verse. He said, "This kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." I really believe that this man, this young fellow I'm telling you about, I believe that somewhere along the line that Satan had taken control of his life. And I believe he was under the influence of Satan. Strongholds, and he had allowed drugs in his life and all kinds of wickedness in his life. And from the time he's a little boy, he began to lie and steal and just do all kinds of things. And Brother Mullins, he just given himself over to that type of a lifestyle. And one day I was looking for him. One morning, he was supposed to be somewhere else and he wasn't there, and I was concerned about him. And I was out in Charleston driving around and going in places looking for him. The Lord said, "You're wasting your time. You're not going to be able to help him that way. This kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." You see, and I thought about it. I think about all the programs there are in the world today and all the institutions there are and all the things where you use all the self-help methods. I'll come back to that story in a minute, but I think about a church I preached at out 21 way a few times out through Sissonville way, and I think about a young man out there in that church, a big boy, and stand up and testify. And I've heard stories, some of you know, maybe you know what I'm talking about, and I've heard how the world tried to help him. The world tried to fix him, but his drug habit just kept getting worse and worse and worse, until finally one day God used someone physically to get his attention, but it was God that changed his heart and changed his life. And now that young man will stand up in church and testify and glorify God and let folks know, "Hey, I'm not the man I used to be. God changed my life and God saved me." Brother, listen, when God changes a man, he changes it from the inside out. And the change that takes place from the inside out isn't a change that is a glorious thing where we can see the testimony, the fruit of it.
Amen.
But back to the story the young man told you about, it's easy to change the outside. I remember this young man started coming to church and he seen me preaching, and he got him some white shirts, and he got him a tie, and he just got him a suit, and he'd come and brother, listen, and then we got him a job, and he went out to the place at work, and he seen a fellow out there that looked like he was living in the world and living worldly, and he seen that fellow, and he caught him in the hallway. I'm not telling you names, I'm just telling you how this works. He seen him out there, and he seen his tattoos. You're not going to hell because you got a tattoo, but he seen what to him was the appearance of the world, and he seen him, and he listened to him talk for a little while and seen his lifestyle. He caught that fellow and he said, "Listen," he said, he carried his Bible with him, but he put it all aside and he caught this fellow. He said, "They all think that I'm a Christian. They all think that I'm saved. They all think I've got it all figured out, but I really like to have some weed, and I figure you could find me some." Say, "Preacher, where'd you hear that?" I'm just telling you, listen, I've seen enough to know that a person can dress up the outside and their inside is still wicked and they're vile, and all it is a game that they're playing. But what God does, God wants to change the inside of the man.
Yeah.
And listen, if God can get a hold of us, if God can get a hold of our thoughts this morning, if God can get a hold of your mind, your thoughts, not your intellect,
right,
but your thoughts, the things you think about, what goes on the inside. I'm going to tell you, it's imperative. Listen, not just because of the temptations to do evil, but whether you know it or not, we're all, unless the Lord comes back, we're going to die someday. Amen?
Right.
And listen to me. Just someday, you're going to be there on your deathbed. The Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Amen? I don't know about you, but whenever it comes time for me to die, and if God rings my number, and if I find out this week, that if I find out in a few years from now, that listen, the sentence has come to me, I want to die praising God. I want to die with my heart and my mind and my affections on God and my attention on Him. Listen, why? Because this old world is temporary. I don't want to die wondering where I'm going when I die.
No.
Amen. Listen, I want to die knowing that I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. I want to die knowing that this book is the Word of God. Amen. I want to die knowing that the promises of this book hold true. Amen. I want to die believing and knowing what the Bible says. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when I walk out, when it comes time for me to walk down to the river of life and say goodbye to this old world, I want to be able to look to my family and say, I know where I'm going. I know who saved me. I know what awaits for me. And it's just goodbye here. And a little hello over there. And someday I'll see you. Amen.
Yeah.
I think about an old preacher named Curtis Hudson. Brother Hudson was just 60-some years old and diagnosed with cancer. And by the time he was diagnosed, it had already gone from his prostate to his bones. And he didn't have long to live. And when it came down time to his die, they recorded his deathbed conversation. And there he was in the room with his family. All of his children, his daughters and his son gathered around, and their spouses and grandchildren gathered around, and there he was with his voice weakened and barely audible, and he's singing and praising, thank God for life. Thank you, God, for life. Thank God for life. And he said to his family, he said, listen, I want to do something. He said, all my life I've witnessed to people and told people how to be saved. He said, I want to talk to every one of you for a few minutes. And one by one, he went through all of his family members and he went through the plan of salvation with them. And he asked every one of them, he said, I just want to hear you say it again. I want to know for sure you're saved. I want to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. And they all got done. Then he said, all right. He said, Curtis, it's your turn. And he went to himself and he went through those verses with himself and he asked himself those questions and he laid his Bible down and said, thank you, Lord, for life. And thank you for salvation.
Yeah.
You see, there's going to come a day we're going to die. And listen, the reason I say that, and I told you, I'm not going to finish. I can preach this to you. We could be here for the next 4 or 5 hours. I'm not going to do that. Amen. Lord willing, we'll finish it tonight. We'll take back up and finish the sermon. But listen, I'm not done yet, though, so don't close me out yet. Amen. Listen, I'll preach here until God gives me a stopping point. But listen, hey, understand, though, the old devil is going to come down. He's always going to be knocking. He's always going to be trying to get in there to your mind. Just because you're saved, you're still in this world. Amen.
Right.
You're still in this world and you're still in this flesh. And listen to me. Hey, brother, listen. The reason I take things a little more serious than what some people do is because I realize, and I've realized it from the time I was a wee little boy. God saved me when I was 7 years old, but it wasn't long after I was 7 that what the devil, Sister Gail, you mentioned this in Sunday school, as a little boy, the devil began to work in my mind. And he began to try to destroy my mind and put all kinds of things in there, friend. And listen, and there were times I thought I was going to go crazy. What was that? But listen, it wasn't some mental problem. It wasn't some medical problem. It was the devil himself was working, trying to destroy my life and wreck and ruin my life. I used to get those Alexander Scorby Bible tapes. Amen. Listen, and I'm not much on them English accents. I'd rather hear a hillbilly read the Bible to me. Amen. But listen, I'd get those Bible tapes. And I'd get in my room at nighttime as a 10-year-old little boy, Brother Mullins, and I'd get down in my room, hold my face like this, and I would play those tapes, and I would listen to them, and I would listen to the Bible. Why? Because the devil was trying to destroy my mind. My mom's sitting right there, and listen, that's quite not easy for me even to talk about it, because she remembers those times, and she remembers the things I would come to her, and I would tell her, Mom, listen, this is what I was thinking, and I can't imagine my kids telling me the things that I was thinking, that the thoughts the devil were putting in my mind, and for us to sit as smug a type of pharisaical Christians and not think that there's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, we're out of our minds, friend. There is a devil this morning. He is alive, and he is well, and he does want to destroy your life. And you don't want to give any ground to the devil. You don't want to give any space to the devil.
No.
That's why I believe in eternal salvation. Amen.
Amen.
I don't listen. That's why it's important that you get it down and get it settled and get your fingers that are crossed this morning, hoping you're saved. You get them uncrossed and you put your faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because someday it's going to come time for you to die and the old devil's going to come beside your bedside and he's going to whisper in your ear, boy, you better hope you got it and you better hope you're all right and you better hope you're ready and listen, the devil's going to throw all that at you. You better be sure and set in your faith. faith in Christ and the blood of Jesus, and you've ever looked at the old devil and say, get thee behind me, Satan. My salvation's set and secure. My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But listen, when I come, I want to have a triumphant victory, entry, exit from this old world. I want to go out with my eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't want to go out wondering about some sermon I heard some harebrained preacher preach one day. Brother, listen, I don't want to go out wondering if it's the baptistry that saved me. I don't want to go out wondering if it's good works that saved me. I don't want to go out wondering if I was baptized enough times or not, or in the right creek or not. I don't want to go out wondering if I confessed enough. I want to go out with my eyes fixed on Jesus, knowing that my salvation was settled at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Amen. And all I had to do was accept what He done for me. Brother, listen. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that there is a real devil this morning, a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You say, preacher, what in the world did I do with the verse you read a moment ago? Why? Because he comes by way of our thoughts.
That's right.
Boy, listen to me this morning. What's in your thoughts? What you thinking? What you thinking? Let me bring this down to another level. What you putting in your mind, Christian? Mm-hmm. What you listening to on the radio, Christian?
Yeah.
Things of the earth, things of the world, things of God. What you watching on the television? You say, I knew you was going to get to that. You know why I knew it? Because you already knew it's right anyway. Amen. What kind of stuff you watching on there, amen?
Yeah.
Hey, what kind of sex and wickedness are you watching on there? You say, preacher, why is my life all messed up? And why is my mind all full of stuff? Why? Because you're watching filth on that thing you don't need to be watching. You say, how do you know? Because I'm a human being too. That's how I know.
Right.
And I know if I put the wrong thing in my thoughts and my mind, I can't just go push a button and get it out. It's there for way too long, amen.
Right.
I don't want that stuff mauling around in my mind.
Amen.
I've got enough in my mind already. I've got things in my mind that sometimes I wish, and I'm being honest with you. Hey, listen, I haven't always been perfect like some of you, amen. I wish I could just go somewhere and just walk in a room and take my brain out, my mind, my memories, and lay them all down and walk out and never have those thoughts again. But they're in there.
Right.
Sure, you shouldn't be preaching then. Okay, you come and do it, amen. Brother, listen, hey, I have an old wicked thought. The old devil will put some thought in my mind, and I'll just say, God, help me. I'm going to just keep on going anyway. I don't dwell on the things he puts in my mind.
Right, that's it.
I can't help what comes in there. Listen, the old preacher Billy Sunday said, you can't help it if a bird flies over your head, but you don't got to build a nest for it. Amen.
Right.
Brother, listen. Whether by accident or by intention, you're going to see and hear things, and images are going to lodge in your mind without adding to them. Amen.
That's right. Don't feed them.
You don't need to feed the fire.
That's right.
See, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about how to have a closer walk with Him. How are you going to do it? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
See, preacher, you think a person can be sinlessly perfect? No, because you're wicked. Well, that's not very nice. You're vile. Your mind is defiled and your flesh is wicked and vile. But listen, you got a brain and you don't have to think about wicked things all the time. Boy, listen, I'm putting a mirror up. Hey, you say, preacher, why are you preaching? Because I can't find anybody to preach it to me, so I'm preaching it to myself. Amen. Most all the preaching I've ever done, I preach to myself more than I preach to people. You say, why? Because I figure if I could ever get me right, I might help somebody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might sound silly and that might just sound colloquial, but I'm preaching the fact to you. The Bible says, as in water, face answereth the face, and so the heart of man to man. And when I preach, I'm honest about what I'm preaching. And I know when I look in the mirror and I see my reflection, I see the same wicked hearts in every one of us that are down here. Listen, none of you have reached that point of perfection. None of you have reached that place of sinlessness. Why? Because that place I told you about where someday I'm going to take and get rid of this old mind, that place is called heaven. Amen?
Hey.
To think about eternity and walk in the streets of gold, that's all wonderful. Brother, listen, hey, but I ain't never been on a street of gold. That don't mean a whole lot. I'm sorry, but that don't thrill me. That ain't what thrills me. That'd be something. I ain't never been there yet, amen? I ain't never been to y'all's house. I don't know what it is to walk on streets of gold, amen? Listen, that stuff, man, listen, you tell that to an old boy that grew up on a dirt road and mud everywhere. I remember Andrew Steers come over here from Australia and one wintertime. You go to Mama's house in the wintertime down there on the farm, and brother, listen, it's mud. You'll even get your car muddy you go down there, amen? You listen, you go down there and you walk around and your shoes are covered in mud. I mean, there's mud everywhere. Andrew walked out one time and he said, it's Mudville around here. What is Mudville, amen? But listen, I grew up in Mudville. I grew up in the country. I grew up around that kind of stuff. Listen, you better watch out when you walk through the yard, or you might find something worse than mud. Amen. I'll leave it at that. We got dogs now. Used to have pigs. Amen. You can figure that one out on your own. Used to, before that, had chickens. So I'm going to tell you what, listen. I don't know if it would be streets of gold. That would be wonderful. And gates of pearl and all that stuff. But listen, what would be wonderful is when every thought is a good thought. And there's no more wicked thoughts in my mind. No more wicked memories. No more vile images. No more wicked things pass through the portals of my mind.
Yeah.
What a day that'll be. Well, my Jesus, I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And it won't be long after a while we're in heaven, we get to thinking, you rejoice in the fact that, man, we'll run laps around glory, and we realize that I ain't had no wicked, vile thoughts all the time I've been here, and that stuff's all gone. All my sins are gone. Amen. What a rejoicing that will be. What a wonderful thing that is. Listen, what am I preaching about? What am I talking about? Casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You say, preacher, where do you get the knowledge of God from? Well, you can probably figure it out, but if you come back tonight, I'm going to tell you, amen. If you don't make it back, holler at me and I'll get you a record of it and you can listen to it, amen. But I want to leave you this morning with a passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 7, would you turn there with me? Not lest you lose confidence. I didn't want you to have confidence in me anyway, amen. But I want to put myself in good company, if that's okay. And not on a pedestal, but I want to put myself in good company on a lower plane. Because if the Apostle Paul can, God had him write to you the way I'm going to read. Listen, it puts us all in good company. Look what the Bible says, Romans chapter 7. Verse number 14. Romans 7:14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." He said, "For that which I do, I allow not." He said, "For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Keep reading. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God." Someone tell me, where are you going to find the law of God? The Word of God. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." You see, there's an inward man. There's a part of you looks that nobody in here knows anything about but you and God. That's your walk with God.
Right.
Your thought life. Nobody knows what's in your thoughts. Most of us spend our whole lives trying to keep people from knowing what we really think. Except for what we think about the Lord. Amen. I want to tell everybody about that. Amen. The Bible says, "I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God at the inward man." Verse 23 says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity." Huh. What did the verse say we read a moment ago? Bring every thought into captivity. Mm-hmm. Here though he says, but I see another law of my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Turn over in Romans for a few pages to chapter 12 just for a minute. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. This right here will change your life. If anything's changed my life, this thought I'm showing you right now has changed my life. Romans 12:1, look what it says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you going to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. How's your mind going to be renewed? By bringing every thought into the captivity, into obedience to Christ. You see, that's the key to the Christian life. You can live your life as a Christian down here. I'll repeat this again tonight, but I want to give it to you this morning also in case you don't get to hear it. Isaiah 40:31. Anybody know it? What's Isaiah 40:31? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's what it says. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I want to just leave you with this thought. As Christians, as Christian people, you can choose to live the Christian life one of two ways. One is you can soar with the eagles. And that the way to do that is by bringing your thoughts into captivity and obedience to Christ. You can think on godly things. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. Or else you can scratch with the chickens. You see, you can just scratch out and try to find good things down here on the earth. You say, well, preacher, there's some good in this. I don't want to scratch around all the time trying to find some good in something in the world. I think about these churches that take their youth group, they take them to the movies, and they say, now, the reason we're doing this is we want you to find God in this movie. Now, bull, shavaki, all right? Look, get the Bible out and find God in this. A dummy can find God in there, amen? Listen, friend, hey, quit trying to justify all this. Hey, this ain't a game, friend. This is a battle. The devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It ain't some fairy tale. It's a real game. The devil wants to destroy your mind. Right. He wants to destroy your life.
Right.
This ain't no foolishness, brother. This ain't no worship center. This old-fashioned Bible preaching church. Why? Because that's the answer. And I'll tell you about it later. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, listen, that's the answer. That's what the hope for them boys and girls is, Bible preaching. That's the hope for this country, is the preaching of the Word of God, for churches to get back to being churches again. Get back to preaching the Word of God again. Brother, if we can mollycoddle and pet and appease people all we want to and try to balance, you know, for them, make them feel whatever. Friend, listen, I want us to feel uncomfortable until we're right with the Lord. Amen.
Right.
Why? Because as long as you're living on the fringe, the devil's got an inroad into your mind. He can get to you. That's the reason why today, and I don't say this in a mean way, I don't say this in a hurtful way, but that's the reason why the minds of American people are so unsettled today and we're all searching for help. And I say that in all sincerity, all sympathy. But listen, when America's mind was stayed on the Word of God, perfect peace prevailed in the minds of her people. Yep. And if we get our minds stayed on God, friend, listen, you won't be near as worried about what's going on in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Because my hope is a lot higher. than what's going on in Washington, D.C. Amen. My King rules and reigns eternally. Whatever happens between now and then means a hill of beans to me. Because someday Jesus is going to rule on that throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. When, where, I don't know. What I'm going to see before it comes don't matter to me. All I know is someday He's going to reign and I'm going to reign with Him. When that happens, I don't know. But who cares what happens in between? I'm going to reign with Him. I want my children to be there. I want my loved ones to be there. I want my family to be there. I want you to be there. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. The invitation time is coming. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. You say, preacher, what in the world do I need to do? You need to get saved. If you've never been saved, you need to get saved.
Right.
Brother, listen. That's the reason why Super Bowl night, we didn't shut down church. We had preaching. Amen. Why? Because we're not trying to appease the boys and girls. We're not trying to appease the flesh. Man, that burns the hide of me. Church is trying to satisfy the things of the world. But listen, hey, I'm as subject to the flesh as anybody else, but I need every opportunity God gives me from His Word to get what I need, to get my thoughts fixed on Him.